Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
It's a monumental occasion, another edition of the Playing Through podcast. And this one's going to be a little different. It's Froggy, but I'm joined by both Brian Wacker and Brian Golf, both live on the scene at the Honda Classic. Good morning, boys.
I will talk first and tell you I am ducking behind a Hot Sauce Pretzels Honda Classic kiosk and trying to give you some kind of good windscreen here, because that's all you're going to hear.
Yeah, it does sound pretty windy out there. I know Wacker was out there early this morning for the early tee time. It was a 6:50 Pro-Am start for our boy Tiger. Wacker, first, how's he hitting it today?
First of all, it's 6:45. Don't shortchange me those 5 minutes, because okay, it's an early 5:15 wake-up call. He's hitting it okay. It's as you mentioned, the wind is going to be a bit of an issue. It usually is this week. It's right now, it's about blowing about 15, maybe gusting into 20 mile an hour range. So the golf course is not easy. I actually caught up with Adam Scott as well. He's out here in the Pro-Am. And we were talking, of course, Tiger, and he said, look, it's not going to be easy for him this week. This is a hard golf course. The rough is thick. Adam was actually surprised that Tiger missed the cut at Riviera, because the rough was down a little bit there, and he thought that was a place that he would play well. But as we saw Tiger offline with the driver, and we saw a little bit of that so far today, Tiger with a reload at one point, I believe it was off the 6-tee, after losing one about 50 yards right, reached in the bag, grabbed another one. But then, hit the second one into a bunker, fairway bunker, up the right side, and hit a really nice shot from about 190 yards out of the bunker and up onto the green to pretty good, pretty makeable range. But, he's looked various levels of sharp, but, some inconsistencies as well. And I think that's, as Adam Scott said, look, we just have to give him time. This is only his third tournament back in basically 5 years.
Right, but how much are we to believe, for example, I know LaRoche has heard this as well, Brian Golf has heard, Rory McIlroy keeps saying he's close. Mm. He's almost there. Is that real talk? Or is that Rory because they're boys? Or is Rory seeing something different maybe when they're playing together at Medalist? What do you make of Rory's he's really close talk?
Look, I think Tiger has shown some flashes, some moments of good play. There's no question. Ian Poulter said, look, the guy, you don't make that many birdies that he's managed to make in some of these rounds and do it playing poorly. So he thinks as well that, Tiger will win again. Patrick Harrington thinks he'll win a major again. He said that on Tuesday. I don't know about that, but look, we just tend to overanalyze every shot and every swing that right. Tiger takes right now. It's just going to take time. I mean, there's certainly been some good shots, but there's a lot that still needs to be cleaned up. I mean, right. Again, this is a guy who really hasn't played the last 5 years.
Now, LaRoche is on the course. Now, LaRoche, are you somewhere near Tiger?
I think so. I mean, Wacker confused me, because Wacker seems to forget that there are 18 holes on a golf course. There is a front nine and a back nine. But I'm trying to find where Tiger would be, because I saw up on the scoreboard up at the practice range where I'm at, it said he was, on number 12 or something. And then I started walking out here, so I figured, I'll be on about 14 or 15 by the time I get out there. And Wacker's trying to tell me that he's basically done. He just got done, giving the Adam Scott stroke fest or whatever. So, he was out there talking to Scotty. And he's like, well, yeah, Tiger's two groups ahead of Adam. And no, wait. I'm backwards. Like, brother, how many holes are here?
I haven't had my coffee. Okay, first of all. Second of all, I took a shortcut back to get inside so I could do this podcast. And I'd cut across 16 after talking to Adam earlier. So, yes, here's a tip, Brian, if you're looking for Tiger, and for anybody, any of our listeners, if you're looking for Tiger,
right,
just look for the biggest crowd.
Right.
You find where the crowd is, and you'll find Tiger.
Now, I will say this. The last tweet I'm seeing is from GC Tiger Tracker 22 minutes ago, showed a picture of the house that says, "This house still loves you, Tiger." Welcome back. I know that's on the back nine. It says, and he said this is not his house. I've seen nothing from Golf Channel Tiger Tracker or TW Spot. Our boy TW Spot is also out this morning. I haven't seen anything from either one of them for a while, so I don't think he's finished yet. He's obviously still out on the golf course.
No, he's not finished yet. He's probably about on the 14th hole, give or take, right about now. But let's move on. Let's talk about, you know, what his chances are. I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
Well, you know what? I want to ask you, actually. You saw his practice round at the Genesis, and we know that he did not make the cut at the Genesis. You've seen his practice round today. You know a lot about that golf course. I think we should go around, and I think Wacker's opinion is probably going to be one that may be a little more educated than mine or Brian Golf's. I'm going to say that Tiger struggles to make the cut this week, but he plays right around the cut line most of the time, but he does not make the cut. That is my initial thought going into PGA National. Brian Golf, what's yours?
He's going to miss the cut. I don't think he has a chance this week. Honestly, I thought that he was going to make the cut at Riv. He missed it. I mean, he was there, but then on that back nine, he just,
right.
I mean, bogey train, you know? Like, it just kept bleeding and bleeding. So, same thing here. Like, I can only say that I've played the course twice in the past week, and that's the most I've played this golf course, and it's the hardest I've ever played this golf course. I'm not saying I'm a pro, but I'm telling you right now, you missed the fairway by an inch, you might as well have missed it by a mile.
Okay.
Tiger is going to miss the cut.
Okay. Wacker?
I don't even think he's going to be near the cut.
You know,
I think he's going to be like six over.
It's amazing. It's amazing how the optimism has swung since December when Tiger finished, you know, in the middle of a pack of an exhibition event on his home course at Albany with no rough to speak of. Look, Brian, you nailed it right on the head when you said if you miss the fairway by a few inches, you're basically screwed, okay? It's a hard golf course. The rough is thick. It's healthy. Ball's going to sit down, and it's hard to hit the ball close to there. I think we're going to see what we've seen from Tiger in his first two starts, and that is you're going to see some good shots. You're going to see some moments that are going to get everybody wrapped up and everybody excited and talking about Tiger being back and so forth, but you're going to see some sloppy play. You're going to see some head scratching bogeys. You're going to see some missed putts. I already saw a couple this morning of putts that just were not close to going in the hole, and were either mysteries on the break or mysteries on the speed. You know, look, so it's going to take some time. Whether he makes the cut or not, you know, I think you guys are probably pretty spot on in that. I think it'll be a struggle for him to make the cut. If he does, it gives him two more rounds, which is what he needs, is more, as many rounds as he can on tournament golf courses. And this is why I wrote earlier this week on golf.com that Tiger's not making it easy on himself because he's playing golf courses that are difficult. And it might not be a bad idea to maybe add some places that aren't so hard.
But where would you add those, like, between Tampa here and Augusta? Like, for example, the Tampa golf course,
sure,
is not easy.
Sure. I mean, I think if we're talking here in Augusta, you've got some limited options. But I think overall, big picture, throughout the course of the year, maybe adding a place like the Greenbrier, adding a place like Hartford and TPC River Highlands, of course, that Rory McIlroy said he loves, and he's going back again this year. So places where you can make a lot of birdies and, you know, really not play into too much trouble, which is what Tiger, you know, this is what we've seen, the inconsistency off the tee, inconsistency at times with a short game. So playing as many rounds as he's trying to get in and doing it on hard golf courses just doesn't make it easy.
Now, is this golf course that he's playing there, PGA National, is this probably the hardest golf course he's played this year? We know we saw him in the Bahamas. We saw him at Torrey Pines. We saw him at Riviera. Now he's at PGA National. Is this the hardest golf course he's played?
I mean, certainly one of them. Torrey Pines is annually up there as the toughest or one of the toughest courses on tour. And over there, you've also got the North Course, which they've made some renovations to, and now no longer quite the pushover that it was. So, look, this golf course, if the wind blows, which it looks like it will, it can be a very difficult golf course, especially you've got some holes in the middle stretch of that front nine, and then you've, of course, got 15, 16, 17, on the back nine. So it is not an easy golf course. It is one of the hardest ones he will play all year. So that's just not going to make it easy on him. It's going to make it very difficult for him to make a cut.
Yeah, well, Brian Golf, had, as he said, just played this golf course. Brian, how hard – I know everybody talks about the bear trap, 15, 16, 17, but how hard is 6, 7, and 8 playing this year?
Well, 6 is a par 5 for everyone else. You know, if we were to go out and play, this course is a par 72, and it's a par 5. But for these boys, it's a par 4. So instead of having, you know, I've played it, and we played it all the way from the tip, so where they're going to play it. And I've had 6-iron in, and I've had 7-iron in. So with that being said, it's still just a good par 4. The tee shot's pretty demanding. I don't think it's the hardest hole on the golf course by any means. The green's a little tricky. Number 8, long par 3 that is just seems to always be downwind, which actually kind of makes it a little bit more difficult. Yes, you get to come in with a shorter club, but that's an advantage to a point, but you got to remember that when the ball is up in the air and it's being pushed with, you know, wind 20 miles an hour, it takes
hard
a lot
to stop it, with those pins. Yeah.
It's going to take a lot to stop it, especially with a 5-iron. You know, some of them will hit 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Who knows if the wind will, you know, shift one day. It's pretty consistent out here, but and then number 7 is the par 3, and
okay.
Then number 8, and it's a good hole. It's nothing too difficult. Really, I mean, honestly, Froggy, the front 9 isn't anything spectacular here. It's very plug and play. You've got to hit your ball in play, and then you've got a chance to hit the ball where you want to hit the ball. The first 3-4 holes, pretty gettable. So, you know, I would say that you're going to see a lot of quick starts for those players that are starting on the front 9. Going to number 10 on the back nine, you know, it's a par 5 that I hit 5-iron into the other day. It was a little downwind. So you got to think that for a touring pro that, you know, having 220 yards in or 210 yards in on a par 4 really isn't that demanding. So then you got 11. 11's a good hole. And you know, really, it comes down to 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Well, there's a lot of water on this golf course, too. And he's not missing it. Like last week, he said the problem was Joey would tell him where he had to miss it. He was missing it in the wrong places. So the ball's not going where he wants it to go, which is obviously a problem because there's a ton of water on this golf course.
Is there a golf course in Florida where there's not a ton of water? And Tiger Woods has had probably the most successful track record in Florida. Obviously, he's never been a straight driver of the ball, but this isn't one of those golf courses, I don't think, where you can just come out here and, like, lace 2-irons and, you know, hit fairway woods. You're going to have to sometimes when the course calls for it, but as far as the wind goes and everything like that, like, he's going to have to hit a lot of drivers to be able to put the ball in a position where he can score because the greens are so demanding. So, I mean, look, this is harder to me than TPC Sawgrass. And, you know, I played, that's probably the closest course to this that I could compare it to. It's just difficult from tee to green.
Right.
And, you know, on a hole where it gives you a little bit of a break, you know, like number one, they're going to hit iron off the tee. They're going to have wedge in. They're going to hit it close. But the green is ridiculous, the undulation. So there's just no breaks here. And
right.
I think that's kind of where I go, yes, Tiger Woods might, you know, get some water balls, but he can't bail. You know, he can't bail on them. Because
yeah.
If he bails, he's in the rough, and then he can't advance the ball. Well, he could advance the ball, but then he's got forced carries. He's got to carry water again in some instances. As I'm sitting here on number 16, you know, that's a hard hole coming out of the rough, let alone, I mean, you know, it's hard coming from the fairway, let alone the rough.
So let's say the three of us are right and he doesn't make the cut. Wacker, when's the next time we see Tiger?
I would say that likelihood would be Bay Hill. That would be, you know, look, this is a guy who doesn't change stripes. You know, he's a creature of habit. There's been some talk of maybe adding Tampa.
Yeah, Valspar.
To the rotation, which would be, you know, back-to-back weeks between that and Bay Hill. Certainly a possibility. He's not eligible for the two World Golf Championship events between now and the Masters, so you can cross those off.
How weird is that,
yeah,
by the way?
Really, yeah.
real quick.
Yeah, guys won 18 WGC titles. Yeah. It's strange.
Unbelievable.
He's won more WGCs than everybody else combined almost. And and he's not eligible. He doesn't have like a past champions. There's no like way for him to slide in and still play these events. And so now, according to and listen, Wacker knows. He knows exactly what he's talking about in that Tiger is a creature of habit. He usually does the same thing all the time. He may only get feasibly two tournament rounds this week, could maybe only play two tournament rounds at Bay Hill, and then he's going to play Augusta with only four more rounds of tournament prep. That's just not enough for him to walk onto those grounds, no matter how successful he is there, no matter how comfortable he is there with his game in the shape that it's in. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, look, I think everyone just needs to temper their expectations. He's just not played meaningful golf really in about 5 years. So, you know, that's a long, long, long time. And I think he can, you know, Augusta's probably the one place he can show up and maybe find his game or turn it up and put together some sort of performance there, because it's a place he's had success and done well there, of course, winning four times. But it's an awful lot to ask expect him to just turn up there with limited rounds of golf, limited play in tournament situations, and be in contention there. I just don't see it happening this year. I think really this entire year, you've got to give him the whole year to sort of get back into that flow of playing tournament golf, playing regularly, of working his way into contention. You know, let's not forget, he hasn't even been in contention in any of these starts. He hasn't been close to contention, really. I don't really count Hero because we're talking an exhibition on a golf course that he knows like the back of his hand and no rough and so on and so forth, and briefly was in the mix there, and at the end of it ends up finishing literally in the middle of the pack. So to me, extrapolate that out to a big PGA Tour event, you know, and I think this is what we get for the time being until he cleans up some of the inconsistencies in his game.
Well, the only thing is our, you know, our fellow podcaster here, Brian Golf, is calling for Tiger to win the Masters. Are you still standing on that, Brian?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not going to get off that one. I'll tell you right now, he missed the cut this week, but I'm not going to get off that one. I think that one plays right into his strengths and limits his weaknesses, which kind of is the recipe for golf, you know, if you think about it. Think about a golf course where you can just spray it all day, but you've got an awesome short game and you're a decent iron player. You're probably going to score a little bit. Add in the fact that you know the golf course. Yeah, I'm not going to go back on that. I won't. What I'm really curious about, though, is as we're talking about the reps that he's going to get between now and then, is there some dependent something here? If, you know, he misses the cut at Honda, do we see him at Valspar? But if he makes the cut at Honda, which we don't think he will, he just goes on to Bay Hill. Because you think about it, he gets two reps, Valspar, Bay Hill, and he still gets his customary 2 weeks off before the Masters.
I think the best chance that we're going to see is he does need to play Valspar, because we do need reps. And reps is a term that he has made us all accustomed to. He needs those reps. Right now, he could feasibly go to Augusta with the four rounds from Torrey Pines. The two last week is six. The two this week is eight. And if he only gets two at Bay Hill, you're talking he's only played 10 rounds of competitive golf before going to Augusta National. He needs more than that to be competitive.
Right. And this topic came up without a thought, just sort of in the conversation. And look, Adam's certainly not Tiger as a player, but you know, this is a guy who last year basically didn't practice. Family, you know, his wife gave birth to their second child. There are other priorities in life, so he basically didn't practice.
Right.
Came into this year and is making his third start of the year this week.
Hold on one sec. Hey, you know, hey, Brian Golf, your phone's really loud. We can't hear Wacker.
All right.
If you could just duck down behind that pretzel cart again.
I've ducked down this whole time, but I'm going to mute it.
Here's the point that Adam was making, is that, you know, he felt that it was going to take him some time to get into that competitive mode and shit and flake off that rust and really start playing the way he thinks he can play and getting to that point where he believes it. And this is a guy who played all last year, had a bunch of top 10s and top 20 finishes, you know, and he said, so here's Tiger. The guy basically hasn't played in 5 years.
Right, since 2013.
Purposes. Yeah, I mean, sure, he had some starts since then, but real full, meaningful seasons, it's been since 2013.
Right.
So he's going to need time. Even the great Tiger Woods is going to need time to get there. You know, even if you were to add Valspar and play there before Augusta, I mean, I think you've got to give him. I talked to Jason Day about this.
You've got to give him a full year.
Hold on. We just got an update from Brian Golf. What do we got here?
Yeah, we just got Sergio Garcia coming out of the shitter, everybody.
All right, cool.
All right.
So real quick, in closing, I know we're all thinking Tiger's probably not going to make the cut, but I do want to go around. Two questions. How's Ricky Fowler going to play this week? And two, who do you think wins this week at the Honda? First, Brian Golf.
Sergio Garcia wins. Just ironic. I was already thinking that. It's ironic that he just came out of the crapper as I was, you know, coming to this part in the podcast. But Sergio is going to win on the Ricky front. I think Ricky's going to contend. The guy's done nothing but play well this year. And he's fresh. He didn't play, you know, at RIV like a lot of these guys. And he's a defending champion. That means something.
All right, there we go. So we got a defend with Ricky and a win with Sergio. And Wacker, what do you got?
Well, you know I hate these predictions, so I love how you just put me on the spot here, but I agree with Brian. I think Ricky contends here. It's a place, obviously, he's won last year and played well in some other years. I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. That's going to be my pick. I think this is
a place. Damn.
Suited his game well, and I'm going to go with Justin Thomas.
That was my pick as well. I was also going to pick Justin Thomas, so we've got two Justin Thomases. And we've got one Sergio Garcia, and I think Ricky is in the final group on Sunday.
Nice.
I think the more likely scenario is that we're going to see somebody, maybe a Russell Henley, maybe a Russell Knox. Who knows? You look at the field of this tournament. After the top few guys, it goes off a cliff. And this is the product of the wraparound schedule and everything else. Discussion for another day. But look,
we got a Tiger sighting.
If we get somebody like Justin Thomas.
Sorry, Wacker. You're not used to people interrupting you when you write shit down on Golf Digest, you know?
Right, exactly. So hold on. So are you seeing Tiger now? What hole's he on?
Yeah, he's on 16T. He just walked up 16T.
All right, so this is the bear trap. So what is this hole?
Yeah. It's par 4. You know, it looks like he's got a iron. Pulling off iron here. Maybe like a 2-iron, 3-iron. I don't think he's got a 2-iron in the bag right now. But
all right, so we've got a live play-by-play here. We'll see how Tiger does on the 16th tee of the Pro-Am.
This would be a really good play if he does have a good course for him to put the 2-iron in the bag as opposed to a 5-wood. Looks like he's waiting. Got some people out in the fairway. So he's holding off here. But he pulled the club. Was cool. Everybody just kind of did a big standing O. Everybody was standing up. But he got the standing O by default. Right there, obviously, the big crowds following Tiger Woods. You could tell he was coming close, too, because of all the police. There's so many more golf carts and so much more going on.
So speaking of Wacker, have you seen any other guys when you were out this morning? Did you see any other guys in the Pro-Am playing well, not playing well, guys struggling, making equipment changes? Did you see any of that?
Well, it's really hard to judge much or glean much from a Pro-Am round from most of these guys. You know, the couple of holes I walked with Adam Scott, he looked pretty solid with his driving and with his iron play. Of course, the putter has always plagued him, and I did see him miss one or two short makeable putts. So probably have some work to do in that aspect. But walking with Tiger for those 9 holes this morning, look, it's been a lot of what we've seen the rest of the year. Some good, some not so good. So still a ways to go, I think, in terms of cleaning up that consistency level.
Right. I agree 100%. So, Brian Golf, is he on the tee yet?
Nope, still waiting. We got these damn amateurs, man. These hacks.
Well, this is the nature of pro-ams. guys.
Yeah, well,
your program that takes 6 hours.
Yeah, well, that I also saw you tweet this morning at Brian Wacker One that some guy had gold golf clubs that's playing with Tiger.
He did, yeah. I mean, gold driver, gold putter, LaRoche, you're over there now. I'm sure you'll see him. Not hard to spot. Some gold wedges. The irons, I believe, had gold shafts in them. So, yeah, that's
fun.
You got to be a high roller to play in one of these in these pro-ams.
And, what does it cost to play in one of these pro-ams? Tiger, if you want to play with Tiger Woods, what does that cost? I mean, does anybody know? Is it thousands?
I mean, No, you're looking at maybe $10,000.
Wow. All right, is he on the tee box yet?
On the tee box, but they're still in the fairway.
Oh, they're in the fairway.
I mean,
they're going to be there a while. We should probably. Look, right, they're going to be there a while, guys. This is the nature of the tour. And by the way, this is again one of the reasons why the tour is decided to move to a 9-9 format, meaning that the pro will only have to play 9 holes with his amateur partner. I think you're going to see that at some select events this year. And I think by 19 or 20, you're going to see it in every event because. Let's face it, by the time these guys spend 3 to 9 holes with somebody, everyone's sort of ready to move on. So, and from the amateur's perspective, it gives them the chance to interact with a different pro as opposed to having a guy who's maybe checked out by that point and everyone's sort of being ready to move on.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, y'all. They're moving.
All right, here we go. So we got Tiger on the tee box at 16 in the pro-am, and he's got a 2-iron in his hand. So, all right, real quick, round the table. Is he going to hit the fairway? I say yes. Brian Golf, what do you got?
He's got fairway. He's got fairway.
And Wacker, fairway or miss?
I'll say make.
Here we go.
All right, we got 3 fairway makes.
Yep.
Just before
Right side of the fairway.
Right side of the fairway. Boom. See, we're all right. See, there we go. Everything's right with the world. Well, boys, thank you so much. So here we are. We've got another week. We will commence. I will say this. We've got some really good guests next week. We'll talk to Brandel Chambly. We're going to talk to Brandel about how he claims he can fix Tiger's driving in just 2 minutes. We'll talk to Brandel about the deficiencies in teaching this game that we love so much. And also, we've got Holly Saunders coming on the show. I don't quite know what we're going to talk to Holly about, but it doesn't matter because it's Holly Saunders, right?
That's it.
Wacker.
Here, hold on.
Oh, hold on. Who's hitting now?
Hold on. Okay, sorry. I had to take a picture of the goat.
Oh, picture of the goat.
It's really funny, by the way, when you are walking against the grain with a Tiger crowd. Like, here I am now going to go try and find Ricky.
Right.
And so you got everybody walking against the crowd. I'm like the only person walking away from Tiger.
It is. We're all on social media. It's at Playthrough Golf. You could find me at Froggy Radio, at Brian Wacker 1, writer for Golf Digest, and at BRYAN, at Brian Golf on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to another Playing Through podcast. We'll see you next week.
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
No? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Bitch.